Meet Attentive, the company helping thousands of brands connect with customers through text messaging. Attentive's text marketing platform allows you to grow your subscriber list, interact with customers in real time, and drive more sales. Learn more and request a demo of Attentive at attentivemobile.com/WSJ.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 5th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. It seems like everything is smart these days. Phones, watches, lights, air purifiers, they've all been hooked up to the cloud. Those interconnected devices have made our lives a little more seamless, but they've also led to concerns over privacy and cybersecurity. So what happens when it's not just one appliance that's smart, it's an entire building? On today's show, our real estate reporter Conrad Putzier joins us to discuss how smart buildings work and the risks they can create. That's after these headlines. Uber says its revenue in the first quarter more than doubled from a year earlier, as demand for rides rebounded from pandemic lows. The company's food delivery business also grew. Despite that, and a bullish outlook for the current quarter, Uber's shares initially fell after the earnings report. That was in part because rival Lyft reported weaker than expected earnings a day earlier. Lyft says it's spending more money incentivizing drivers who left the app to come back. Both Uber and Lyft have struggled with the driver shortage, which has driven up the price for rides. But Uber says many of its drivers switched to food delivery during the pandemic. That's put Uber in a better position to bring back drivers into ride sharing. At the WSJ CEO Council Summit yesterday, Bill Gates said Elon Musk could make Twitter worse after he buys it. The Microsoft co-founder said Musk has a good track record of getting Tesla and SpaceX to be leaders in their field, but Gates said he wasn't sure that would be the case with Twitter.
I kind of doubt that'll happen this time, but we should have an open mind and never underestimate Elon. What's his goal, where he talks about the openness? How does he feel about something that says vaccines kill people or, that Bill Gates is tracking people? Is that one of the things he thinks should be spread? So it's not totally clear.
Gates has been the target of misinformation on social media, including Twitter, and said he would speak out if Musk made the platform worse. The CEO of telehealth startup Cerebral told staff the company will stop prescribing controlled substances like Adderall for new patients, though it will continue prescribing Adderall for existing ADHD patients. The decision comes after Cerebral's preferred pharmacy, TruePill, said on Monday that it would stop filling stimulant prescriptions from the startup. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that several large national pharmacies had blocked or delayed stimulant prescriptions from Cerebral over concerns that its clinicians were writing too many of them. The company has said it does not pressure clinicians to prescribe Adderall. And the global semiconductor shortage is showing no signs of easing. The latest snag in the system is that there aren't enough chips to make chips. Companies that build chip-making machines say they're facing major delays. Our reporter Asa Fitch, who covers the semiconductor industry, says that what began as supercharged demand for laptops and other chip-hungry gadgets due to the pandemic has now spiraled into a structural problem for the industry.
It seems to be extending the shortage for much longer than people initially expected. Only a few months ago, a lot of chip executives were predicting that the shortage may ease in the latter part of this year. Nowadays, you'd be hard-pressed to find a single one who doesn't think it's going to extend well into 2023. People in the industry say that there's just tremendous demand for chips, and it doesn't seem to be easing.
All right, coming up, the building knows when you're near the elevator and how much carbon dioxide is in the air. But can it stop a cyber attack? We'll go inside smart buildings after the break.
Las Vegas knows this is a time when meetings need to be affordable, innovative, and guaranteed to raise interest. No other destination collaborates with you to create memorable moments like Las Vegas. See how at VegasMeansBusiness.com.
Imagine walking into your office building, or rather, a smart office building. The doors open automatically, no keycard. The elevator arrives and takes you to your floor without you pressing any buttons. The lights and air conditioning come on as you walk to your desk. Maybe the windows tint as the sun moves during the day. In some buildings, all of that is already a reality, thanks to a network of sensors and cameras hooked up to the internet. This kind of tech could make office buildings a whole lot more efficient. But if a building becomes essentially a giant computer, that could create new risks, too. Joining us to discuss the trend of smart buildings is WSJ real estate reporter Conrad Putzier. Hi, Conrad. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It seems like everything these days is, you know, smart in some way or another. But when it comes to smart buildings, can you just actually lay out what are we talking about?
It's a great question because no one really has like a great definition of what a smart building is, and everyone has a different definition. In my mind, a smart building is basically a building that's like an internet-connected device, like your phone or like your tablet, but on like a gigantic scale. So what that means essentially is that it's fully wired, has a bunch of sensors, has all these components and gadgets that are connected to the internet, like facial recognition cameras, smart elevators that know where to send you, and most importantly, that this whole thing basically has a single software overseeing it. Sort of like the way you have an iOS for your iPhone or a Windows for your computer, there is a single software overseeing this entire building.
So can you give us an example? I mean, is there one of these buildings out there somewhere that if we walked in, we'd have that kind of experience?
Yeah. So I visited this office building in Charlotte where Honeywell, which is a huge, huge company, has its headquarters. They just finished it last year. And when you walk in, it's unlike any office building I've been in before. So the first thing that happens is you have these turnstiles, right? Look like normal turnstiles. But instead of some sort of card reader where you have your key card, there's a facial recognition camera that recognizes your face. And then it not only opens the door, like it recognizes that you're an employee, that you have access, it also hails the elevator because it like matches your face to your actual desk and it knows where your desk is. So it'll hail the elevator for the floor that you normally go to. And there's so many other things in the building. Like they have these sensors in every single room, right? They have like more than 300 sensors per floor. And in conference rooms, they have these sensors that not just track humidity, temperature, but also particles and CO2 levels. And one of the people who toured me around just like to show me what it looks like exhaled in one of those sensors so that the CO2 levels went up in that sensor. And then immediately you could hear like the AC starting to buzz to suck in more outside air because the smart building essentially recognized, okay, something's off with the CO2 level here. We got to suck in some air to like make sure everyone stays awake and doesn't like fall asleep at their desk.
So this is a building really, you know, interacting with the people who are inside it. But why would a company want to put all the money into building something like this?
There's a couple of reasons. One is sustainability, right? So the idea is basically, if you have a building that's somewhat intelligent, you can save a lot of energy and carbon emissions. So if you have smart elevators that can sort of intelligently decide who's going to be sent where at what time, you can put more people in a single elevator. You don't have as many trips. That saves you energy. So sustainability is one big advantage and one big reason why this is becoming more common. The other thing is companies are more than ever trying to convince people to come to the office, right? Especially during the pandemic, the rise of remote work, everyone's been stuck at home, and people who are stuck at home are comfortable there, and they're increasingly used to an environment where, you know, their homes are smart, right? You have your smart speakers, you maybe have a smart doorbell, you have all your gadgets and devices that you're used to. So that essentially creates competition for companies and for landlords who want to get people back to the office. They essentially have to say, all right, well, if you want to get you back to the office, we have to make sure that this office building's up to date, that it's nice. And they have to make sure the building is enjoyable.
But if I work in one of these buildings, or I guess even if I'm just a person who visits one of these, it seems like I'm giving up a lot of personal information. I mean, certainly, you know, my face is being picked up. What are companies doing to ensure that privacy is protected for the individuals going into these smart buildings?
Privacy is a huge issue, of course. At this point, we've all sort of accepted that when we go on the internet, there's going to be cookies and trackers that sort of track everything that we do. We don't really think about that privacy issue when we walk into a building, right? We're not like assuming that like cameras and sensors track our every move, but that's exactly what's starting to happen. So privacy is a huge issue going forward. I spoke to Honeywell about this, and they basically say that the system is set up in a way that they can't ever track pull data on individual people, right? So The building will recognize you and send the elevator to your floor, but Honeywell can't like log in and see like, oh, like which floors was this person on at what given time, when were they in the office, that sort of stuff. And then one risk, of course, is that even if the company decides not to track it, there's the chance and the risk that criminals might hack into these sensors and these databases and basically pull this information. And, you know, someone might know where you were at any given time in this building.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because I think it seems so obvious that hacking might be a problem once you've turned a building into a giant computer. So how are these companies keeping their buildings safe?
Hacking is a huge risk for these smart buildings, and it's really a challenge that everyone has to deal with. Part of the issue here is that a lot of these office landlords aren't incredibly tech savvy, right? So they've embraced these smart buildings because they're supposed to be energy efficient and they're supposed to be appealing to tenants. They buy all this technology, wire up their buildings with sensors, but then they don't have a lot of employees that are actually good at cybersecurity and know how to secure this sort of stuff. And often they're very keen to save money and keep their expenses low. So that's another reason to not spend money on security. And that's a really bad combination because you have these incredibly smart buildings that have all these vulnerabilities, right? And it's kind of hard to figure out how many attacks there have been so far because from what I hear, often companies and landlords just don't want to talk about it, right? If they were hacked or there was a ransomware attack on like their HVAC or their elevator, they're not going to broadcast that unless they have to. But I do hear that it's a very real risk. And there's also the risk that as defenses around like cloud computing and other online technology becomes better, hackers will have a harder time hacking into like, you know, cloud servers or databases, and they might pivot to smart buildings because they recognize, all right, this is like this big new thing. There's all this data, there's a huge opportunity, and they're not as well defended. So that's a big danger.
The federal government's been paying a lot more attention to, you know, cyber attacks and the risk of ransomware. Are they also paying attention to smart buildings now?
Yes. The federal government, for sure, has been paying more attention to this. I spoke to Lucian Niemeyer, who was the Deputy Secretary of Defense in the Trump administration, and he recalled this meeting that he had with James Mattis, who was the Secretary of Defense at the time, where Mattis basically identified smart infrastructure, smart buildings, as a huge vulnerability. And one risk, of course, is that you're starting to get all these smart building technologies in government buildings, right? So someone could hack into the Pentagon, hypothetically, that way, right? But the other risk is just that the broader economy is impacted by this. There have been attacks on infrastructure already, right, on pipelines. Hypothetically, you could see hostile governments attacking, you know, office buildings across the city to just, like, harm the U.S. economy. It's a real risk. And Lucian Niemeyer, the former Deputy Secretary of Defense, he launched this working group when he was in the Pentagon to kind of figure out ways to better defend smart buildings. And that's continued for sure.
All right. That was our reporter, Conrad Putzier. Thanks for joining us, Conrad.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.